Father, we do thank you once again, God, for loving us, for caring for us. And God, I do pray that, Lord, you would just speak to our hearts. And we do thank you for the ministry of Jeremiah that we can see. And Lord, we want to understand more, Lord, about the heart of this man as he serves you. And Lord, how you worked through him and spoke to him. And God, I just pray that we can glean for our own lives these same principles and truths and walk in them. So Lord, bless this time, encourage us, and Lord, just draw our hearts close to your heart. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you remember, it's been a while since we've been in Jeremiah, huh? I don't know how many of you remember, but remember when we left off, Jeremiah had been really complaining to the Lord. He's a bit lonely, ministry's getting hard, people are coming against him, and he's kind of letting that out a little bit and letting the Lord know it's hard. And here's the crazy thing, Jeremiah's ministering to these people 42 years and being faithful. And so tonight we're going to see the Lord's going to kind of answer him about his loneliness and being bummed. And here's the crazy thing. It's going to be the complete opposite, I think, of what Jeremiah expected and what we expect. I think I'm like a lot of people here. We kind of want to be, when we're feeling bad, we want to be coddled a little bit, and we want somebody to say, oh, it'll be okay, right? And it'll be all right, and I got you, and stuff. And that's kind of our especially in America, our culture, we want that. And I think Jeremiah was kind of looking at that from the Lord. Like, Lord, I'm feeling really bad, and ministry's really hard. These people don't like me. And remember, nobody's liking the guy. So that would be tough. And so he lets it all out. Look at what the Lord tells him in verse 1 of chapter 16. The word of the Lord also came to me saying, you shall not take a wife, nor shall you have sons or daughters in this place. Hey, Lord, I'm really lonely. All right, well, here's the thing. I don't want you getting married, dude. Now, you know, we kind of laugh about that, but one thing being in ministry, from somebody who's in ministry, is the thing is, man, it is so great to have a spouse to go to when things get tough and things get hard, and that supportive person next to you and standing with you and is there with you in ministry, and somebody who will even listen to your whining and complaining and not be all just, listen, that's so important. And Jeremiah's saying, Lord, man, I am bummed out and I'm lonely. Okay, well, I don't want you getting married, all right? Now, here's the crazy thing. You know, God, it's crazy in the Old Testament. When I hear people say, I wish I was a prophet, I'm thinking, you probably should read your Old Testament a little more careful, right? I mean, Isaiah, he has Isaiah name his kids kooky names to speak to the people, right? Hey, name your kids this, and so the people will know how I feel about them. And then, by the way, walk around naked for, you know, for however long, what was it, 6 months or some, or a year, 18 months? Go do that for a while to get their attention. And Ezekiel's going to do some crazy things. Ezekiel's going to cut his hair, burn his hair, he's going to play with soldiers, he's going to lay on one side for a while, lay on the other side for a while, and these are months on end that he's laying on his side. He's going to cook his food in dung and stuff like that. And now listen, so God uses the prophets to speak to them, not just with their words, but with their lives. And so here's what he's telling Jeremiah. Jeremiah, I don't want you to get married, not because I'm mean, not because, and listen, it's not because the Lord doesn't want him to be comforted and taken care of. I want you not to get married, and I don't want you to have kids, because I want the people to see through your life how bad it's really going to be. Listen, and that's what's important. So Jeremiah, listen, he tells him that, and then he tells him why. Verse 3, for thus says the Lord concerning the sons and daughters who are born in this place, and concerning their mothers who bore them and their fathers who begot them in this land. They shall die gruesome deaths. They shall not be lamented, nor shall they be buried, but they shall be like refuse on the face of the earth, and they shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their corpses shall be meat for the birds of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. For thus says the Lord, do not enter the house. Oh, that's a different thing. We had to stop at verse 4, right? So listen, he's telling them why. Now listen, God isn't saying, I'm doing this. Here's what God's saying. This is what's going to happen to these people. And so I don't want you having kids so they will understand it would be better not to have children than to bring children into that environment. And that's what's going on, right? So he tells them that. Now listen, that's bad enough. I'm thinking the Lord tells you that, you're going to kind of get that and you're going to process it, right? We get information from either people or from the Lord and we begin to process it. And maybe even Jeremiah, after the Lord told him the second part, look how horrendous it's going to be. I don't want you having kids in that environment. And he's sort of processing it. And the Lord goes, oh, well, I'm not done yet. I don't want you getting married. I don't want you having kids. And then in verse 5, he says, for thus says the Lord, do not enter a house of mourning, nor go to lament or bemoan them, for I have taken away my peace from this people, says the Lord, loving kindness and mercies. So he's taking away his peace, his loving kindness and mercies. Both the great and the small shall die in this land, and they shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them and cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them, nor shall men break bread in mourning for them to comfort them. For the dead, to comfort them for the dead, nor shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or their mother. So here's what he's saying. Jeremiah, I want you to exclude yourself, listen, from what's going on in the community. So listen, don't go in the house of mourning. Why? Because there's going to come a time where there's not going to be a place for mourning. It's going to get so bad. So, right? He tells them not to do this. Then he tells them why. Because there's going to come that time where people aren't going to be mourning for one another, aren't going to be there for one another. So here's what I want you to be. Number one, I want you to be kind of a social misfit in so many ways. Not getting married. In that culture, not getting married was huge. If you didn't get married, something was wrong with you. And people are looking at you. Number two, I don't want you, when somebody's really bummed out, I don't want you being hurt. Just don't go help them. If they're mourning for somebody, just don't enter the house. Just do that. Now, I'm thinking neighbors are going to start talking, right? Like, that Jeremiah is kind of weird, man. Like, what's he doing? First of all, he's telling us that, Jerusalem's going to get captured. And we all know that's not going to happen because this is a place God chose. And that'll never happen on our watch. And all the false prophets are telling us what we want to hear. So we know that's not going to happen. Now, listen, now he won't even come and he won't mourn with us when we're hurting for loved ones. Oh, and then he won't do something else either. No parties for Jeremiah. Listen, verse 8, and you shall not go into the house of feasting to sit with those who eat and drink. So I don't want you to get married. I don't want you to have kids. I don't want you to mourn with people. And no parties, bro. I'm thinking, that's tough, right? I mean, that's kind of a hard ministry. And all of this comes on the heels of, God, I'm not having a good time doing ministry right now. It's kind of tough. And God says, oh, it's going to get so much worse, man. You've just begun. You got 40 years of this. I don't know how long he's been doing it. So we'll maybe say 30. So listen, I don't want you to go to any parties. And listen, why? Why doesn't he want them to go? Verse 9, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease from this place before your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. God says it's going to get so bad. So bottom line, Jeremiah, I want your life to be a video for these guys, an HD video for these guys of what's coming. And they need to see it by the way you're living and what you're doing. Now listen, man, I'm thinking I'm Jeremiah. At this point, I think I would tell God, I quit. This isn't really what I signed up for. I thought we were just going to tell the people it's going to get really hard. I didn't know it was going to get hard for me as I'm doing this. And then check this out. Verse 10, and it shall be when you show this, when you show this people all these words and they say to you. So here's what God's saying. You're going to do this and then people are going to begin to talk. Shock, shock, right? And they're going to do all these weird things, and they're going to be on Twitter, they're going to be on Facebook, they're going to be doing these things. And so when they do, and then people are going to come up to you, and here's what they're going to say. Jeremiah, why are you so weird? Like, you're not married, you're not going to, you don't mourn with people, you don't party with people. Why are you so weird? And Jeremiah's going to say, I thought you would never ask. Because look, he's got the answer. Listen, when they come and ask you this, here's what you're supposed to say. This is crazy. Here's what you're supposed to say. And when they come and say to you, why has the Lord pronounced all this great disaster on us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? They're going, why is this happening to us? Then Jeremiah is going to say to them in verse 11, because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord, and they have walked after other gods and have served them and worshipped them and have forsaken me and not kept my law. So he says, listen, here's what God's saying. It started with your fathers. And here's something I found as I watch people. As parents, if we sin, our children take our sin to a little bit greater degree. Have you seen that in life? And listen, as we follow the Lord, but here's the good news, as we're faithful to the Lord, our children will take our faithfulness to another degree. We need to, it goes both ways, but listen, man, I mean, when we watch, if we don't get anything this generation, how bad, I think things are so upside down and weird now. Sometimes I think, I must be getting old because I'm not understanding this stuff, right? It is weird. And so, listen, here's what he said. Jeremiah, why are these things happening to us? Well, it started with your dads and your fathers, right? Your fathers didn't want to follow me. Oh, but you guys, listen, verse 10, and you guys, you have done worse than your fathers. That always happens, right? We take it to another degree. You've done worse for your fathers, for behold, each one follows the dictates of his own evil heart so that no one listens to me. Now, here's what's crazy, man. 12 times in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah talks about following the dictates, listen, he uses this, following the dictates of your own evil heart. 12 times. Then you need to find them and underline 12 times. So here's the problem with Israel. They're doing their own thing. They're deciding what's right and wrong. You know, we live in a culture right now that's huge, right? Our culture's trying to define morals for us, and you can't do that. Listen, you cannot do that as a culture because it's going to change. You have to have some standard by which you're gonna judge things. And if you start as a culture defining your own standards, it's going to get messed up. It's pretty messed up, right? And things are getting weirder and weirder and harder, and you know it's getting tougher and tougher. So listen, he says, because why? Because you're following the dictates of your own evil heart. Now, we're going to find out about the heart here in a minute, but right, it's the heart. The issue isn't the culture. The issue is the heart. And then he tells them, therefore, verse 13, I will cast you out of this land and into a land you did not know. Remember God's covenant with the people. It's so important, I like to bring that up over and over. God's covenant with Israel was, you can stay in my land as long as you do what I tell you to do. If you don't do what I tell you to do, I'm kicking you out of the land. Sometimes I think we get a misconception. Listen, God doesn't quit being the God of Israel. He never boots Israel out of his heart. He kicks them out of his land. The covenant was about the land. Israel will always be Israel. They'll never stop being Israel, you know, and that's repeated. So listen, he's saying, what happened? You wanted to do your own thing. Listen, God says, if you live here, here's how you're supposed to live. We don't want to live like that. And here's what God said, then fine, get out of my land. It's pretty simple. You can live here if you do what I tell you. You don't want to do what I tell you? It's kind of like a dad, huh? Like my dad told me, you want to live here? You're going to do what I say. You don't want to do what I say? Leave. I remember, now I kind of always wanted to be, I wasn't compliant, I was conniving maybe, not compliant, but you know, listen, my brother, I remember one time, man, my brother, he's a year older than me, I remember one time he's packing up. I'm going, where are you going? I don't like the way things are going here. I'm leaving. I go, seriously? I go, we kind of have it good here. You know, we got a roof over our head, we got some meals, things. And I'm a little guy, but I still was figuring that was pretty good, right? So he packed up, and he was going to leave, but he couldn't get his stuff over the fence. So he decided to stay for a while. But listen, isn't that, at my dad's house it was, if you want to live here, you can do what I say. Well, God's the same way. If you want to live in my land, do what I tell you. You don't want to do what I tell you, you're leaving. So listen, he lays that out, and he says, so, you know, and bottom line, here's the deal. God's saying, I'm going to kick you out, right? So therefore, I will cast you out of this land into a land that you do not know, neither you nor your fathers, and there you shall serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favor. Now, that's kind of a harsh word, right? God's saying, I'm bringing judgment. Now, listen, here's a little bit of mercy. I love, remember, Jeremiah most of the time brings a little bit of mercy in with the this is what's going to happen to you, because this is what's going to go down. But look at this mercy, verse 14. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that it shall no more be said, the Lord who lives, the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt. So listen, all of their existence, right? It's our God who brought us out of the land of Egypt. Most of us know that story, right? Israel went into Egypt. They were there for 450 years. God delivered them, right? Brought them out of Egypt in a miraculous way. If you've seen the Ten Commandments, all have seen Charles Heston and that whole thing. So listen, he brings them out, parts the Red Sea, all of that stuff happens. And here's what he's saying. There's going to come a time where that's not going to be what defines us, but what's going to define us is this. Listen, there's going to come a time when they say in verse 15, the Lord lives who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from the lands where he had driven them, for I will bring them back into the land which I gave to their fathers. They're going to be taken away. By the end of Jeremiah, they're going to go into captivity. Babylon is going to come in, capture that area, take all of those guys back to Babylon to worship gods that they're going to make them sick of idolatry. So they're going to go away and do that. After 70 years, God's going to bring them back. They're there 70 years because they owe him a year for every time they didn't keep the Sabbath year, right? 490 years they were in the land. They were supposed to do every 7 years, they were supposed to give the land rest, right? A year of rest. The whole Sabbath thing, we'll get into that at the end of this, but the whole Sabbath thing's crazy. So when people tell me they're Sabbatarians, I'm going, I don't think you know what that means. But listen, man, and they didn't do it. So God says, you owe me 70 years. You owe my land 70 years. Get out. And the land rests for 70 years. But listen, then he gathers them all and brings them back. How crazy is that? And then they get booted out again in 70 AD. And God gathered them, and now they're back in the land again. It's kind of crazy, right? So no longer is he going to be the God who delivered them out of Egypt. He's going to be the God who brought them out of Babylon. And eventually he's going to be the God. How amazing is it that Israel is still a people and a nation, and they were scattered for almost 2,000 years. They were scattered. They didn't have a nation, but they stayed. And then God brought them back in 1948. So that's going to be the amazing thing. But now back to judgment, right? A little bit of mercy. Now back to some judgment. Verse 16, behold, and here's the thing, man. People think they can hide from God, right? Like us who sin, us, right? We sin. We think we get away with it, right? Because I didn't get busted. Like we do a sin and we think, whew, man, nothing came down. I'm okay. God sees it. You need to know that. And here's the thing, too. You can't run from God. Look at what God says. Listen, behold, I will send for many fishermen, says the Lord. This isn't fishermen like when he gave the apostles and told them he's going to make them fishers of men. These are fishermen who are like they're really hooking people in and taking them, right? He says, I will... send for many fishermen, says the Lord, and they shall fish for them. And afterward I will send for many hunters, and they shall hunt them from every mountain, every hill, and out of the holes of the rocks. So God says, dude, you can't hide from me. It ain't going to happen, right? For my eyes, look at verse 17, are on all their ways. Do you know that God sees everything you do? Here's what's crazy. Is we will do things in front of God that we wouldn't do in front of anybody else. I'm counting myself in on that. We do things, right? And we're doing them in front of God Almighty, but we would never do it like here, like right now, you know, in this gathering, get up and do some of the crazy things we do. I wouldn't do that. Why? It'd be embarrassing. These people are watching. Well, God's watching, right? He says, listen, I see everything, right? And they are not hidden from my face, nor is their iniquity hidden from my eyes. And first I will repay double, in verse 18, for their iniquity and their sin, because they have defiled my land, and they have filled my inheritance with carcasses of these detestable, abominable idols. Now, when you think about what he's saying, saying, listen, think about, well, let's read this. Oh, Lord, verse 19, this is Jeremiah after saying all that. He goes, Lord, I'm still a little bit bummed out, right? Oh, Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in the day of affliction. Now listen to what he says. The Gentiles shall come to you from the ends of the earth and say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, worthless and unprofitable things. Will a man make gods for himself which are not gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know, and I will cause them to know my hand and my might, that they shall know that my name is the Lord. Here's what he's saying, man. Even the Gentiles, the other nations, they're going to get saved, right? So he's saying, man, listen, Jeremiah's saying, I'm a little bit bummed out, but here's my hope, man. You're going to do this amazing work. So he's kind of looking ahead, and he's looking at those things. Now, back to the sin issue, because these people have a major, major sin issue. They're worshiping false idols. In spite of, remember where we left off in Kings and Chronicles? Those of you who have been coming on Thursday nights, remember, it's right after Josiah, the great revival of Josiah. That was just an external. Listen, you can clean people up on the outside, but it's the inside that needs to get fixed. And the only fixing on the inside is the Holy Spirit when he does the work. You know, it bums me sometimes as Christians where we want to fix people. You know, sometimes I hear Christians go, do you know that, you know, and whatever, it can be a big corporation or whatever, do you know what they did? And I'm going, seriously, they did that? It's because they don't know Jesus. That's why they did that. And we're like wanting to fix them, right? I don't like that they do that. You know, whether we can talk about Microsoft and some of their stuff, we can talk about Apple, we can talk about all these big corporations saying they do horrible things. Listen carefully, listen. They don't know Jesus. Why would we expect them to act like people that know Jesus? If you act like people that know Jesus, that's called hypocrisy, right? You're supposed to change on the inside. So these people, listen, they're blowing it they're getting right on the outside, but they're blowing it on the inside. So here's what God says. Look at verse 17. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron, and with the point of a diamond it is engraved on the tablets of their heart and on the horns of your altars. And here's an interesting thing. The way he uses to describe this instrument to write with is something that would write into stone or something. Now, here's what's kind of crazy. People read something like this in Jeremiah, and they go, Jeremiah wouldn't know about that kind of a device. He's like, you know, he's like writing in what is it, 500 B.C.? How would he know about those sort of things? Oh, but he would. When they do archaeological digs, it always kills me, man. People go, they wouldn't know about that. And then all of a sudden, they dig something up, and here's a stone inscribed by one of these instruments, right? Sure, Jeremiah would have known about it. But here's what he's saying. He's not so much trying to describe how you would, you know, make an instrument to write in stone. Here's what he's wanting them to know. Your sin, your iniquity, if you don't deal with it, it's engraved on your heart. It's written in there permanently. You gotta get Jesus to get rid of it, right? You gotta come to him to deal with it. So listen, it's engraved there. And verse 2, while their children remember their altars and their wooden images by the green trees and on a high hill. So listen, again, he's talking about all their false worship. On my mountain in the field, I will give you as plunder your wealth and all of your treasures and your high places of sin within all your borders. And you shall even yourself, you shall let go of your heritage, which I gave you. And I will cause you to serve your enemies and the land in a land which you did not know, for you have kindled a fire in my anger, which shall burn forever. So listen, men, here's what's going on. You guys are sinful and you're refusing to repent. You're refusing to deal with it. And part of it is because you and I think we know better than God. Now, some of us are going, not me. Well, right there, you're kind of blowing it. Just letting you know. Listen, we think we know a little bit better, and we want to do it our way. And we use God. We kind of just use God. We just kind of bring him in. We kind of, you know, well, come on, God. I want all of my worldly baggage, but I want you there too. And God says, no, well, let's get rid of your worldly baggage. Let's get rid of that stuff. And why don't you just trust me? Well, because I can't see you. That's why. See, the biggest problem is this thing called walking by faith. And they had the same issue. Listen what Jeremiah says. Again, we're getting down to the issue of the heart. Thus says the Lord, cursed is a man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. Here's what he's saying. Now listen, he's saying we can't, he's not telling us to not trust anybody. He's saying you put in your faith in what man can do. I hope you know by now, man's not going to fix this place. Yeah, not going to fix this planet. And definitely, listen, man's not going to fix this country either. You know, I don't care what political party you're part of, ain't going to happen. And here's the problem, man, we start putting our trust in that. And, you know, sometimes I think we need to draw back from some stuff so we don't get so involved that we start looking at that. You know, and I'm thinking of cultural, I'm speaking to, you know, people in the U.S. right now, we start getting all involved and politically and looking at things. Stop it. Start looking to Jesus. Right? And so listen, man, he's saying the problem is when you trust in man and your heart, then your heart, listen, you're not looking to the Lord to worship him, to honor him, to obey him, to allow him to guide and direct us. We start looking at man, and then listen, it messes us up, and then our heart departs from him, and here's what it looks like. Look at verse 6. Here's the illustration. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert. Now listen, we live in the desert. We know what shrubs in the desert look like, right? Bleh. Yeah? Come on, man. If anybody knows, we know. You know, listen, we don't have, like, I think the desert's beautiful, but I also know what a shrub is, right? A shrub is a bleh. I think a cat claw. Like, I think cat claw, I don't think cat claw came from God. I think it, like, morphed out of something, you know, it's a mutation, because surely he didn't make it. And if you've ever been stuck in it really bad, you know what, and there's no way God made, but listen, he says, man, that's what you're going to be like. So here's what I want you to think of. The next time you start trusting in your own ways and your own strength and you start doing it on yourself, I want you to get a picture of being in the middle of like an acre of cat claw and you're right in the middle. That's your life. You're like that shrub. Listen, and that shrub, he goes, that shrub in the desert, listen, in verse 6, and in the middle of it, and shall not see when good comes. You can't even envision that. But that shrub will inhabit such a parched place or such parched places in the wilderness and in a salt land which is not inhabited. Now that's not a pretty picture, right? That's an ugly picture. This is a man who trusts in man and the man who trusts in his own strength. And then he says this, verse 7. Now look at the flip side. Verse 7, blessed is a man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. So listen, let's just stop there and think about that. Here's what he's saying, man. When you will be blessed, we're going to look at being blessed this weekend as we begin the Beatitudes. And listen, man, if you want to be blessed, here's the way to be blessed. Trust in the Lord. You don't want to be blessed? Trust in your own strength. See how that takes you. See what that does for you, right? So you make a choice here, and then listen, man. Listen to the description of the one who trusts in the Lord. So blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Verse 8, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. You're not going to be that funky shrub, right, in the desert. You're going to be like a tree planted by the waters. And which spreads out its roots by the river. Here's the crazy thing, man. A tree that's alive and healthy, its roots begin to spread out and begin to seek out right in and get strong. It grips into the ground. And those roots, listen, they're looking for water. And it stays alive by doing that, right? And it's so stretched out there. And then that tree or that person will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of the drought, nor will it cease yielding fruit. Why? Because it's alive. Cat claw tree. Right? You choose. Now, why would we choose? Listen, and here's what I'm thinking. From that description, you want to be verse 5 and 6. Or do you want to be 7 and 8? I think Moses, 7 and 8, 7 and 8, 7 and 8. Then why do we always choose in our lives 5 and 6? I want to be 7 and 8, but I'm choosing 5 and 6. Why? Listen, here's why. Verse 9's the answer. The heart is deceitful above all things. Christian, underline this passage. The heart is deceitful, listen, above a couple things, a few things, some things, all things. Listen, man, I got like all underlined. I have all circled. All means all, right? That's how deceitful our heart is. Listen, and desperately wicked, Who can know it? You and I need to understand. It kills me when people say, well, I'm just following my heart. And I'm going, dork. Why would you want to do that, man? Obviously, you haven't read your Bible, right? Or even some Christians go, oh, they have such a wonderful heart. No, you don't. Your heart's deceitfully wicked. Listen, we got to understand that. Because, listen, our emotions, that's a, you know, he's not talking about this organ. He's talking about our emotions. They're deceitfully wicked. And if we're running on emotions, listen, we're going to get tripped up. And we're going to get messed up. And then he goes, but who can know? Who can know the inside of us? Who can really know us? Who can know us better than we can know us? Because we think we know us really well, but we don't know us like we need to know us. Who can know us the way we need to be known? Listen, who can know it? I, the Lord, in verse 10, search the heart and test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Don't you love it? Who can know your heart? God. So why don't you sit before God sometime and ask him to examine your heart? Notice I said sit. Don't stand and ask God to examine your heart. You're not going to make it through to the end. Sit down. Ask God to show you things. Ask God to show you what needs to change. Ask God to show you where you're not being honest with yourself. And he will. He's faithful. He will do that. Because you know what? Man, God wants us to follow him. Not because he's a, you know, egomaniac. He wants us to follow him because that's the best life we can have. And listen, man, ask him to begin to cleanse you. Here's what I found in my life. How many times have you promised God you're not going to do something that you do over and over and over and over? Any of you do that? Just me? I'm the only one who does that? And we're always telling God, I'll never do that again. And then in 10 minutes, we're doing it. Right? Because why? Because we're trying to fight it in our own strength. Trust the Lord. Ask him to examine you. Ask him what you need to get rid of. And as he begins to show you, and as it becomes, it's like peeling an onion, right? One layer at a time. Listen, I don't know if you've known this. I think most of us have. You don't become holy the minute you accept Jesus, right? I'm talking about practical. Yeah, I understand spiritually. I understand we're in the throne of God up into heaven. I get that. But right now, where we're living, I found in my life, like, there's still things I need to work on. And listen, man, he begins to do that and he unravels that. Who can know the heart? God. And he'll start begin to show you. Now, listen, now, I don't know why in the middle of this he brings up greed. In verse 11 it says, as a partridge that broods but does not hatch. Now some of your translation says, is a partridge that hatches. And bottom line, I guess partridges in that part of the world, those partridges, were known for sitting on eggs that weren't theirs. And it's kind of weird. It's like, really, you don't know your own offspring? But they would sit on them, and then whatever eggs they were sitting on would hatch, and they would look at the partridge, and they'd go, I don't belong to you. You're a weird bird, man. I'm another kind of bird. And they'd run off, right? So that's kind of what this is talking about. Listen, here's what he's saying. Just as a partridge, right? A partridge sits on the wrong eggs, and they hatch. So is he who gets riches but not by right, it will leave him in the midst of the days, and at the end he will be a fool. Here's what he's saying. Don't get greedy and start ripping people off. Ultimately, it's going to come back on you. Now, I know some people go, dude, I know some rich people. It's going to come back on them. We'll come back on them eventually. We may not see it, but that's not up for us to judge them. It's up to God, right? And he's saying, listen, just as a partridge hatches those birds and they look at them and they go, I don't belong to you, and they run off, so will all of your ill-gotten gain. If you're a greedy person, you're trying to get over on people, you're trying to do things, it's going to be bad. Now, back to the issue of the country, right? Verse 12, a glorious high throne from beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Here's what he's saying, man. We're in Jerusalem. And listen, this is the place God chose. This is where his sanctuary is. And it's a beautiful place, and it's high and lifted up. And then verse 13, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me, this is the Lord speaking, shall be written in the earth or in the dust because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Here's what God says. God says in Revelation, he wants to write our name in the book of life. So here's the choice again. You want to follow man or you want to follow the Lord? I want to follow the Lord. You want your name written in the dust? You know what happens with names written in the dust? Right? Wiped out. Or do you want it written in the Lamb's book of life? I'm thinking the Lamb takes care of his book, right? And that's where we want it. So listen, he's kind of drawn that contrast. And now Jeremiah, he's still bumming. He's still not like really satisfied. So verse 14, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For you are my praise. Indeed, they say to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. Now, here's the worst thing you could ever say, is God, bring it on. Right? Because that's the thing he's going. They're telling me, where's this word of the Lord? You keep telling me he's going to destroy Jerusalem. Where is he? Just wait. Tick, tick, tick. Right? So when they say that, and then Jeremiah, this is like being really honest, right? Because we always think these guys were so proper. Check out Jeremiah. He gets a little ticked right here. Verse 16, as for me, I've not hurried away from being a shepherd who follows you. He's saying, God, I've done what you told me, right? Nor have I desired the woeful day. And you know what came out of my lips, and it was right before you. So do not be a terror to me. You are my hope in the day of doom. But Lord, let them be ashamed who persecute me. Now here's what I like. God, I'm like fighting for you, God. I'm doing everything I can. And then he goes this. Let them be ashamed who persecute me, but do not let me be put to shame. And Lord, let them be dismayed, but don't let me be dismayed. And bring on them the day of doom and destroy them with double destruction. You think he's a little fed up with the people, right? This is a little bit of honesty. Listen, man, he's just like letting it out. God, like if I'm not getting married and I'm not having kids and I can't go mourn with people and no parties for me, then I want you to bring double doom on these people, right? I want you to take care of them. Oh, and then we got to deal with this issue. The Lord said in verse 19, thus the Lord said to me, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people by which the kings of Judah come in and by which they go out, and all the gates of Jerusalem. So here's what he's saying. Find that main gate. And it's interesting. Some of your translations will name a gate. I'm not sure which gate it was. Those of us, we're getting ready. We leave this week or next week on Tuesday to go to Israel. And we're going to be around, you drive around the old city and there's a lot of gates. And which one was it? I don't know which one the kings went in and out in that day. Right? But here's what he's saying. I want you to get in the main gate, and I want you to sit in that gate. Why? When you got in the main gate, you could say things. People are going in and out. They're going to hear you, right? And here's what I want you to say in verse 20. Say to them, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work, but hallow the Sabbath day as I commanded your fathers. Now listen, a lot of people take this. It was interesting. I was even reading one commentary of a guy that I really like, and he got off on this thing, and he says, now we know as Christians, we don't do the Sabbath because the Sabbath's Saturday, but as Christians, we've changed it to the first day of the week to Sunday. Listen carefully. We are not under the Sabbath rule. That was for Israel. We're not Israel. We're the church. And my Bible says that Jesus came and became the rest for us. We need to understand that. Now listen, that doesn't mean, hey, you want to take a day and you want to just rest and do nothing? Go for it, man. I think that's a good thing. I think our bodies need that. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that, but don't get all caught up in this thing. Listen, this person was saying, I don't do this on Sunday, I don't do that on Sunday, and I don't do this. And I thought, well, yeah, you know, and now you're getting into that thing that I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't go with the girls who do, and I feel all holy, you know. Come on. Listen, man. He's talking to Israel, and here's the thing. What did he say? Listen to what he said. Trust in the Lord. And here's what the Lord's saying. Okay, you want to trust me? Let's just take one little thing. Remember, Israel had 613 laws, not just the Ten Commandments, 613. So here's what God says. Let's just do one. Let's just try one. You're going to trust me? Let's try one. Trust me in this one thing. Start honoring the Sabbath. Oh, Lord. Now, here's what's crazy. To me, it's kind of a little bit mind-boggling. Like, God says, I want you to rest. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. And again, read about, hey, how many of us would like every 7 years to get a year off with pay? Yeah, woo, yeah. Huh? And that's what God was offering them, and they're going, nah, we'd rather not. We'd rather work on that last year. I'm thinking, you're stupid. Right? So listen, man, God says, just do this one thing. So here's this one thing for Israel at this point. Let's just prove your faithfulness just with this whole Sabbath thing. I don't want you to do anything on a Sabbath, okay? How's that sound? I mean, that sounds kind of reasonable, right? Once again, not all of the stuff that, listen, now they put so many things on the Sabbath. All God told the children of Israel is rest on the Sabbath. Don't do anything. Now they made all these kooky laws. Listen, so he says, I don't want you to do that. Don't carry any burdens. How many of you don't want, I mean, I don't want to carry a burden anyway. You know, you got a big pile of junk. I don't want to carry it. So here's what God says. Don't do it this one day of the week. Again, I'm in, right? But verse 23, but they did not obey nor incline their ear, but made their neck stiff that they might not hear nor receive the instructions. They're going, blah, blah, blah. Do you ever talk to your kids about doing something? And they go, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and then you get spank them. I didn't say that. Scratch that from kill the tape. But listen, man, listen. They're going, I don't want to hear you. So, listen. He tells them, check this out. Here's what God says, verse 24. And it shall be, if you heed me carefully, here's what the Lord says, if you trust me, right? Let's just interpret that a different way. God's saying, listen, if you trust me, says the Lord, to bring no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day and do no work in it, then shall enter the gates of this city kings and princes sitting on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, and princes accompanied by the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this city shall remain forever, and they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places all around Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin, from the lowland and from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and grain offerings and incense and bringing sacrifices of praise to the house of the Lord. If you do this, here's what's going to happen. That sounds pretty good, right? Kings are going to be sitting on the throne of David. They're going to be riding horses. They're going to have chariots. Man, all the men are going to come. We're going to gather. We're going worship the Lord. Woo! All you have to do is not carry stuff on the Sabbath. Chill out. Chill out one day a week. No, we'd rather work. Actually, we know more than you, God. I mean, I know you think you know. I know you think you got it together, but actually we know a whole lot more. So either do that. Now listen, God's always fair, but if you don't want to do that, verse 27, but if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Now listen, God went pretty extensive of what the blessing's going to be, right? Princes and kings and horses and chariots and worship and all of that. But if you don't do it, he's pretty simple. God's pretty simple. You don't do it, fire. Which do you want? Do you want good or you want fire? We'll take the fire. That's what they do. It's crazy, right? Now listen, people tell me how hard the prophets are. Can you kind of hear in all of this God sort of begging Israel, Judah at this time? Just trust me. All I'm asking you to do is trust me. And you know, tonight we're getting ready to do communion, and it's the same thing. Listen, communion is not a ritual we do, but it's an act that we're showing God that we trust him, that we believe that he actually died for us, that his blood covers our sins, and that he rose again on the third day, and we believe that, and we're going to do that. So you want to follow your heart, or you want to follow God? I'm for God. I think we should follow God. And you know what? We should ask him and fix us up and to get us straightened out. And he promises he will do it. Let's stand up and pray. Lord, as we get ready to leave here tonight and come to your table before we do that, God, I just pray that we would think about the whole thing being explained here to Israel over and over again 2,500 years ago. And God, how in some ways in my mind, I hear you just pleading with them, choose blessing. And I know the story. I know they choose the cursing. They choose the fire. They want to go their own way and do their own thing. And Lord, we're a lot like that. I know as the world we look around and it's like that, but I believe if each one of us gets real quiet before you, we would see in our own hearts that God, a lot of us become very self-reliant and pretty stubborn and pretty bent on doing things our own way. And so God, I pray that tonight after reading this and looking at Jeremiah speaking to a people who are stubborn and going their own way, that God, it would cause us to do some reflection and get real before you and sit before you and allow you to fix us, God. And that we could glorify you with the lives we have, with the breath that we have left, that we could honor you and glorify you in this world. And most of all, God, that we could be a people who make you known to this generation. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, you can be seated. And before we have communion...